and good morning. It is the Peace Officer Show today. We've got back with us Jason Marlowe, 26-year veteran of the Iowa State Patrol. He is joining me today. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Steve.
And we also have Kevin Glendenning. He's the sheriff of Des Moines County. He is joining me as well. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Steve.
And we're going to talk, basically, we'll talk law enforcement. We move in, seems like we're always moving from one season to another. Where I'm not sure what this season is. The rain season, I guess, that's or something. But it's May is a real transition month, and I think I told you, I officially declared COVID over 2 months ago. That was my decree, mostly because I had COVID, and it was so mild, I said, okay, I've got the COVID antibodies, I've had two shots and a booster. I said, as far as I'm concerned, it's over. And I think that's, and frankly, I think that's pretty much the attitude of pretty much everybody, isn't it now, Jason?
Yeah, I'm no expert in this particular area by any means, but I'm with you on declaring it over. I think for some, when you look at, you know, for a law enforcement perspective, and we talk about traffic counts and the return to normalcy about the number of vehicles that are on the roads, things of that nature, we are clearly there. Now, with that, unfortunately, we've also seen that increase in our traffic fatality rates start to go back up, and we're at a five-year high as of today. I think I saw 89 traffic fatalities so far in 2022, and, you know, some of those things that also correspond with that increased traffic volume.
We had very, very, very high speeds. You had, for 2 years, very high speeds. If people started to slow down?
Well, as of Monday, we had two troopers in our district that wrote two traffic tickets, one each, two separate violations for 110 miles an hour each. So I don't think we're slowing down quite yet.
Okay.
again, the irony of those speeds being exactly the same, and, you know, on the same date, and things of that nature continue to happen. As you and I have discussed, and I know the sheriff understands, early on when the amount of cars were less on the roadway, it kind of made some sense. Maybe some open roadways, some opportunities for people that were out to maybe push that accelerator a little farther down based on the less volume of traffic that they were accustomed to. But now, as I mentioned, we're back to where we should be, and we still see those high speeds. And clearly, speed is a huge factor. I would argue that it's the number one factor in the severity of a car crash. Now, it doesn't always mean that's the reason that it happens, but it clearly impacts how significant that crash is going to be when that event occurs, and it's going to affect not only the vehicles but the people inside of them. So we've got to understand that you know, speed limits are put in place for reasons, but when we're talking about speeds of 110 plus miles per hour, we're nowhere near the speed limits.
Now, we were driving into Chicago for Easter weekend a few weeks ago, and I we're driving in, and I'm saying, wow, we're driving. It's pretty. The average speed is pretty fast here. This is going into the city, into Chicago. You got six lanes. I said, so what? How fast are we? She said, well, I'm doing 80, and I'm getting passed like I'm standing still. But traffic flow also is something that in places. You can stay over in the right lane, typically if you're on a freeway or whatever, and you can drive. But when traffic flow is high, you tend to be whatever the traffic flow is to be sort of to be comfortable. And I think that's one of the biggest issues that face. So if traffic is going generally higher or generally faster all the time, and everybody's going fast, staying in that traffic flow and trying to keep your distance. But it doesn't mean it is any less dangerous if somebody hits the brakes, right?
Yeah, and I think those patterns are certainly going to vary throughout your travels. You know, from Burlington, Iowa to Chicago, it is probably going to be a night and day difference in the amount of cars.
Oh, yes.
You mentioned six lanes of travel. We don't have that in the listening area of KBUR. And even in high volume traffic, that flow, you know, has a tendency to vary. And if, in fact, you get, quote unquote, caught up in that, I think you're probably better off making a decision to decrease that speed and not, you know, continue to increase it.
Well, anyway, the speed has you were telling me, I think when we were talking about the fact, you said, you know, hey, speeds were up all the way across everywhere that you throughout the county. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We saw the same thing, and echo what Jason was saying, that it's those high speeds where you see those severe accidents, those fatalities occur. You know, the impaired driving, the distracted driving, those definitely are major contributors to those accidents. But when you see these high speeds, that's where you see the really bad accident scenes.
Yeah, and it's the other cause, you know, one of the things that we've always talked about distracted driving, and there's so many distractions that we have in automobiles anymore. But probably the biggest distraction we have is just simply having a phone that's I've heard people, we're running a PSA right now. Put your phone in the glove box. Take your phone. If you're driving, put the phone in the glove box, because you're better off to simply not be, to not have, because if it's buzzing, the temptation is to want to look. And if you see something, and just taking your eyes off the road for a few seconds, well, it's just a few seconds, but we do not have, in Illinois, you cannot have a phone, you cannot be speaking on a phone either. People use Bluetooth a lot, and they have those, you know, basically set up in their, my wife has it in her car, but it's, you know, it's been said that, you know, if you're in a conversation, Bluetooth or not, even without, you know, with hands free, it may be less of a distraction, but it's still a distraction, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a lot less of a distraction. I would certainly prefer that over having to pick up your phone, especially if you're answering a call or something like that, or you're just involved in the conversation. Of course, the best way to drive is have your complete focus on the road and what's happening around you. But the hands-free, at least you're not picking up your phone. You're not looking for that contact or trying to dial a number or even just to answer it. It's just about having your focus on the road. But yeah, we've had a couple bills that have, we've tried to make it through in Iowa, for the hands-free. It doesn't look like it's going to happen again this year. But who knows what the future holds.
You know, we have had, one of the seasons we had, we move into, and there were several this past week, not necessarily here, but throughout, much of the South, very severe weather, a downpour where it's raining so hard. You've been in it. Everybody's been in it. It's raining so hard you can't see more than maybe 25 feet in front of you, or you've got a tornado. You see a cloud, you're seeing a tornado, and so the tendency for people to do is say, okay, somebody got to get the camera out and shoot this way. Let's get a picture of it or whatever. Tornadoes. What do you do? I mean, it's still, if you're on a highway and you see a tornado, What do you do, Jason?
I guess I would, knock on wood, I've been fortunate not to have to be in that situation personally, but you see, you know, videos and hear stories from time to time. I think an important factor that sometimes goes underappreciated is often the ability to predict some of that severe weather moving in. And I'm not saying that there isn't a pop-up thunderstorm or something that could appear out of nowhere, but for the most part, with some of our storm prediction centers and things of that nature, we've got a pretty good idea that, you know, this is the atmosphere that could create some of these things. So if, in fact, you don't have to be traveling during those time frames, it'd be no different than a projected winter snowstorm, where we would say, get your stuff done early and then not have to be on the roads. If you find yourself in that, I think the best thing to do would be to hopefully find a secure location off of the roadway, not stopping on the traveled portion.
What I've seen happen a lot, or at least we've seen pictures of it. I haven't had that one myself either, but you see highway overpasses, and in the under the overpass, and they say, you know, once the suction from a tornado is not going to protect you, you're not going to be protected by being just under that overpass. You may have some better protection than you would if you were out on the highway, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely depends on the severity. They have said, you know, low-lying areas and highway overpasses. However, I think just that planning appropriately, I think people too many times have that attitude of it'll be okay, and they're willing to risk it. They'll say it'll be all right. But I think you just need to plan accordingly and don't go out in that severe weather.
Yeah.
Don't risk it.
Yeah, in other words, if you don't have to, don't do it. Is that right?
Absolutely.
It is Jason Marlowe and Kevin Glendening. We're going to take a break, and we will be back with more right after
this. Well, what shall we talk about?
You're listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show.
I don't believe for a second that it's not at the core about its money. Deebo Samuel, if he doesn't like his role, Deebo wants wide receiver money. And he would love to just stay out there wide where you can't get hurt.
The Doug Gottlieb Show.
2 to 5 weekdays on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
DQ presents how to make mom and the whole family happy this Mother's Day. Step 1. Give mom a world-famous DQ cake made with vanilla soft serve and a fudge and crunch center. Step 2. Dig in. Slice into that shareable DQ cake and give everyone a piece. Starting with mom, of course. Step 3. Watch as everyone enjoys this Mother's Day favorite. Because when mom is happy, everyone's happy. And nothing makes mom happier than sharing the happy with her favorite people. And by happy, we mean DQ cake. DQ. Happy tastes good.
Spring is here, which means it's time to take advantage of the Home Depot low price guarantee. We're offering the best brands at the best prices so you can take on as much as you want. Add the thrill of a great deal to the satisfaction of getting your projects done. And if you find a lower price from one of our competitors, we'll match it. Because when we say nobody beats our prices, we mean it. It feels like spring savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Now that we've had a few nice days under our belts, the folks at Standard of Beaverdale are wondering, have you taken a good look outside your home? If not, it's a good idea to do a solid walkabout around the exterior of your home. Does your siding look a little worse for the wear? How are your shingles and gutters holding up? How about your windows? The good news is Standard of Beaverdale can help provide a solution to any problem you find. Come on out to Standard and check out the large siding samples. They are a full 2 foot by 4 foot to give you a great idea of what the color will look like on your home. Take a look at the replacement windows Standard carries. They are energy efficient and quiet and help you save on your electric bill. Whether your home improvement projects are large or small, Standard of Beaverdale is eager to help. And they encourage you to get them done early so you can enjoy the nice weather. Shop Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, open 6 days a week.
The Chad Benson Show.
It's so much now about entertainment. And the things that we should see, in many cases we don't see, the things that we should talk about, we don't have a chance to talk about. Because the things that get people to watch are more about culture than they are the actual real content of what goes on a day-to-day basis that we should pay attention to.
The Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson, weeknights from 8 to 11 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And welcome back on the talk show. Kevin Glendening is the sheriff of Des Moines County, and we've got Jason Marlowe from the Iowa State Patrol. And it's spring. It hadn't felt like a lot of spring for the most part, but it's going to be all of a sudden spring will be turning into summer here very quickly and very warm weather. I know that we were talking about yesterday on the talk show. We were talking about the aggravations. And I was mentioning, we're talking about, and I had my news director, he was talking about the fact that the most frustrating thing is being out on the road, you're driving, and then you've got a group of cyclists that are up there, and they're not stopping at the stop signs, they're riding two or three abreast, they're blocking traffic. Every time that happens, you have you're making people. I'm not saying road rage, but you're getting people angry, and angry people are never fun to be around. And if somebody else does it, and I'm out riding by, now I've learned that one, always have an out, because I figure motorcyclists. It's like some people take motorcyclists. There are some that love to get as close as they can to you on a bicycle. But it's the fact is, bicycle safety. We've got this. Well, I know in the city of Berlin, we talked about that last month. We were talking about the fact is, city code says you ride single file as far to the, if you're on a regular road, a regular street, unless it's a designated. You know, you got a bike lane. That's a different story. But you ride as far to the right, and you ride single file. That's city code in the city of Burlington.
Yeah, that's actually state code.
Oh, so
yeah.
State code,
yeah.
Too? Okay.
Yeah, nearest to the right side.
And it, but, you know, I see these, I don't know what large groups of cyclists that ride two or three abreast. It really disrupts traffic flow. And I don't know, is there a, Can you stop? Do you give a ticket? Can you give a ticket for violating that? And I guess I don't know. Is that a ticketable offense, Jason or Kevin?
Yeah, it can be, and that's obviously not the goal. I mean, the cyclists have the right to the road, and we want to share the road. It's a lot of what you just said is just respecting each other. We want bicyclists to be out there and enjoy it as well. But if a car needs to get by, they may be moving at a faster pace than you. So just stay to the right side. And a lot of times you'll see them, they'll be side by side, and then they'll move to single file when a vehicle approaches.
Stop at the stop sign.
Yeah, when you read the code, as the sheriff mentioned, clearly the bicycles are required to do the same movements as any other motor vehicle. And if that applies from a stop sign or a yield sign, you know, clearly riding on the right-hand side of the road and things of that nature. I think most of the citations or tickets that have been issued to bicyclists over the years, and it wouldn't be a lot, would unfortunately be the result of a crash. And if it's that bicyclist's fault, you know, then they very well could receive that citation or ticket. But more importantly, as Kevin mentioned, we're hoping to prevent those collisions and crashes, and understanding that if you are an avid bicyclist like yourself, you understand the importance of stopping at a stop sign and things of that nature. And if you're wanting that same respect to be returned to you as a bicyclist, you have to do the same thing.
Come up to a four-way stop, best one would be Mount Pleasant Street and West Burlington Avenue. There's four-way stop there. There's Casey's store. There's home improvement store across the street. And I've learned over the years that when I stop, I basically know it's like the drivers all look at me like, what do I do? So I've learned the best thing I can do is to direct traffic. I will point to a car and I will say go, because I know. And then I was there, so I will point to that car and I will put my hand out and stop. Then I'll take a left turn and it goes. But I think most of the drivers appreciate the fact. Okay, now I'm being told I know what to do, some people, because otherwise bicyclists become invisible. I think that's one of the issues that we have. We do have great bike riding roads around here and a lot of low density. Whitey Clausen put in a lot of low density traffic roads back in the 70s and 80s. And, our farm to market road network here is spectacular, but you still have to, you have to know where it's safe and where it's not. If it's not safe, don't do it. That's basically the bottom line here. Ragbrai's coming up. I think I was just telling Jason this. First time we had Ragbrai called off in 2020. I did 3 days last year, and I've decided that, it's too cumbersome to try to get up and do a few days this year that I think, next year, I'm hoping, or what, in 2023, I'm hoping that we're back on that, the whole tilt and everything planned out and sponsors and the whole bit. But we do have bike racing that's going to be coming to Burlington Memorial Day weekend. This will be the first time since 2019. Only it's going to, guess where the start-finish line is.
Well, it's going to have to be a different route.
It is.
I'm not sure what it would be, but it's not going to be the traditional one.
Well, you're right. Do you know where the start-finish line is, Kevin?
I haven't heard yet, no.
It is? Well, you're basically within 50 feet of it right now. It's our front door.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
It's our front door. So all I do is go down the stairs and walk out, and there it is.
Front row seats here.
Now, you're talking more out the stairs in broadcasting. You're not going to try to jump like lap six pretend that you're ahead.
I was just wondering where you're going with that. As far bike racing, I'm a bike rider, but I'm not a bike racer. It was originally planned to be. They had it set up to be right at the entrance to our parking lot, which is right over there. The only problem that would have been, and I see why they did it, anybody that was parked in there wouldn't be able to get out once they set that thing up. So anyway, that's what's coming up. It is 9:31. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about some more serious things going on as we move into the seasons, and also some boating, a little bit of boating. And boating has been, in fact, I know that John Billups at Bluff Harbor Marine, he said, boating season and the number of boats they sold has been a record breaker over the last 2 years. And we've got more on the way.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Room, I'm Colin Letty. The Burlington Fire Department is investigating the cause of a fire at a vacant Burlington home. At 2:04 p.m. Wednesday, the Burlington Fire Department responded to a reported house fire at 243 South 7th Street in Burlington. Firefighters responded from outside the stations while conducting training. Police officers arrived at 2:05 p.m. to find smoke showing and located flames inside the two-story wood frame house. Firefighters arrived at 2:08 p.m. The fire spread into the wall and up to the attic, and firefighters were able to contain the fire to that area and extinguished it at 4:24 p.m. No one was on the property at the time of the fire. The cause of the fire is being investigated by the Burlington Police and Fire Departments and is considered suspicious. Iowa will receive $1 million as part of a multi-state settlement with TurboTax. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
The Iowa Attorney General's office says TurboTax has agreed to pay the state's involved $141 million following claims the company got people to pay for tax preparation services that should have been free. More than 33,000 Iowans who use the service from 2016 to 2018 are eligible for a direct payment of approximately $30 for each year that they paid for filing services. If you're one of the people involved, you'll automatically receive a notice and a check by mail.
The Illinois Attorney General is calling for the cancellation of all student loan debt. TV station WICS reports that Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul announced Wednesday that he was joining a multi-state coalition of eight attorneys general urging the president to cancel all student loan debt. The group says that canceling the debt is necessary to address the amount of debts owed, flawed forgiveness and repayment systems, and the impact of student loan debt on millions of people. The collective is made up of attorneys general of Hawaii, Michigan, Minnesota, New Mexico, New York, Puerto Rico, Washington, and Illinois. From the KBUR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. More than 6 million people are known to have died of COVID-19. The coronavirus pandemic may have caused millions more deaths on top of that.
Estimates from the World Health Organization suggest 14.9 million people died from pandemic-related causes over the course of 2020 and 2021. The figures include direct COVID deaths as well as indirect causes, such as overwhelmed healthcare systems being unable to provide proper prevention and treatment for other medical conditions.
Fox's Jonathan Seri. A tornado hit Seminole, Oklahoma.
Residents there say it looks like a bomb went off.
I could hear the metal coming off of the roof.
People trapped inside structures had to be rescued in Lockett, Texas.
That is a monster.
Storm chaser video from Zach Walters on YouTube. Multiple homes and other structures damaged.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Rain and showers. A high today 56 degrees. Showers 70% likely tonight. A low down to 50. Showers, thunderstorms 80% likely, mainly before 2 p.m. Friday. A high to 59, along with north winds gusting to 20. Mostly cloudy Friday night. A 30% chance of a shower before 8 p.m. at a low to 48. And north winds gusting to 20. Mostly sunny Saturday, 68. Mother's Day Sunday, partly sunny, 71. Right now, rain continues, 52 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Stocks are struggling on Wall Street after yesterday's relief rally. The Fed raised interest rates by a half percentage point to fight inflation. Investors were relieved it wasn't more aggressive. It means you're going to pay more pretty quickly on credit card balances you're carrying. Rates are also poised to rise on car loans, student loans, and mortgages. More Americans applied for unemployment benefits last week, but the total number of people collecting jobless aid is at its lowest level in more than 50 years. Jobless claims rose by 19,000 to 200,000. Tomorrow we get the big April employment report from the Labor Department. A Saudi prince, the venture capital firm Sequoia, and Oracle founder Larry Ellison have all stepped up to help Elon Musk come up with the $44 billion he needs to buy Twitter. It's Cinco de Mayo. Deals and discounts at lots of restaurants today. Jessica Ettinger, CNN.
The CFOs that get it, get it. The CFOs that don't. Behold the CFO, the chief financial officer. This isn't some bean counter. Today's CFO is critical to the strategy, growth, and profitability of the business. But in growing companies, there are two kinds of CFOs. One who's struggling to keep up with spreadsheets everywhere, manual processes, errors, and lack of visibility into the numbers. It takes weeks to close the books. And one who's on top of their game. Automated reports, inventory, e-commerce, and HR flow into the financial models seamlessly. Insights coming with the click of a button. This CFO uses NetSuite by Oracle with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. That's why NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system used by over 29,000 growing businesses. Like I said, the CFOs that get it, get it. The CFOs that don't. Head to netsuite.com/advantage for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. netsuite.com/advantage. netsuite.com/advantage.
Eye specialist Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center welcomes ophthalmologist Sarah De La Rosa to West Burlington. Dr. De La Rosa, what's your first impression of the hospital and its services for treating illnesses and injuries of the eye?
I've been very impressed with the facilities at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center, especially in the eye clinic and in the operating room. The eye clinic has some of the best diagnostics that I've ever worked with.
Treat your eyes to the best care at Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center. For more information, visit GreatRiverHealth.org.
The annual Bid on Burlington auction is back. Preview items at BidOnBurlington.com starting May 16th. The auction goes live on May 23rd. Local businesses are offering great merchandise and services for sale, and you can save up to 50%. If you haven't registered yet, you still have time. Start browsing the items up for auction on May 23rd and be ready to bid. It's your chance to win brand new items at low, low prices. BidOnBurlington.com, brought to you by Pritchett Broadcasting and some of your favorite local merchants.
Alzheimer's disease affects 6.5 million Americans, and as a local business, there are many ways you can get involved in the fight to end Alzheimer's. The Alzheimer's Association is looking for partners in Southeast Iowa to sponsor our event. Start a team for the Walk to End Alzheimer's. Go Purple in June. Host a fundraiser for the Longest Day, and the list goes on. Call Michelle Kelman at 319-237-4900 to find out how to get involved.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news.
The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
And welcome back on the talk show. Jason Marlowe with the Iowa State Patrol. Kevin Glendening is the sheriff of Des Moines County. And one thing, we've seen a lot of stories, an almost unbelievable amount of stories. There was somebody that was arrested within the last week at 80 pounds of meth. I don't know if his name was Heisenberg or not, but it was. I'm just kidding. It seems there's a lot more meth arrests that are going on. Is that true, or is it just perception?
Well, I think some of it is. It makes the media a lot more. And I would say currently there's probably less arrests in comparison to where we're at, like 2017, 2018.
Okay.
We were hitting some really high numbers at that point. What we see nowadays, you know, 20 years ago, it was the drug was made locally. It was made with pills that they would gather, and they would get ether and other chemicals to make that drug. But now it's made in Mexico. It's made in large labs, and it's brought in by the pounds instead. And we started seeing that in like mid 2015, 2016, in that time frame where we started to see large quantities that were reaching pound levels. And we had work to do. We got to work on it, and we still see that. We still find those large quantities, but we definitely have made an impact. I like to think we're turning the corner on it, and we've made a dent in that that stream.
From the from a state patrol standpoint, if this is coming in, if it's being transported to Mexico and then being sent across the country, they're driving under highways. So I don't know if. How do you is there any indication you get that says, oh, okay, this guy's not quite right or something like that? Is there anything that you any clues that give you give them away?
Well, I'd like to tell you that we have tremendous success in interdiction in every stop that we make, but the truth of that matter is we're probably not as successful as we would hope to be ever, and maybe won't be. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. Clearly, you have to have a probable cause reason to make
right.
that stop.
Yeah.
So if in fact you have, you know, no reason to pull that car over, then it's going to continue to travel down the roadway like any other vehicle. Once you get to that stop and there are potential indications, you have to be able to articulate reasons why. We're not just going to pull every single driver from out of state out of their car and search that. That would be an unconstitutional search under the Fourth Amendment. So, you know, there's a lot more that goes into that. And we continue to train troopers as well as other officers on, you know, tactics and things to look for, questions to ask, things of that nature. But even if everything is done the way it should be, it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to
right.
interdict every stop with the transportation of those narcotics. So we still rely on a lot of public input, you know, people that say things. If you see something, say something, and then you get into the investigations, and those take time. I think in my dealings, and I'm sure Kevin can echo these sentiments, people get frustrated with the time that it takes for a good drug investigation to take place. You know, they call in and they say, hey, I've seen, you know, at this house or my neighbors or whatever it may be or doing this. I want somebody out here and something done about it now. But that's not the way those typically work. So it takes a little time. Continue to, if you see something, you know, say something, because all of that stuff does help.
You know, the decision to go on a chase, somebody does something, you pull somebody over and they decide that they're going to, And they, maybe, you know, maybe it's it might have a taillight out or something like that. Just basically a stop like that. And then you see, we've had stories where somebody will panic and then will start doing a high speed chase. What are the rules? Are there rules? How do you decide whether this chase is a chase or whether it's or not to explore a chase, Kevin?
Yeah, so there are rules, but it's a lot of just that balance, and it takes into account the environment. You're going to be making different decisions at 12 o'clock at night in comparison to at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when schools are out, or if you're out on an open road in comparison to if you're going through a school zone or in town. We also take into account is that have you been able to identify this person, and what do we know? So we're constantly balancing that need to immediately apprehend this person. Do they create a risk if we allow them to go? And it's sometimes it's a really good decision to say we're going to terminate the pursuit and we're not going to continue this pursuit because it's dangerous. It's dangerous to the people around.
We had a law enforcement officer killed this past week putting out a stop stick because the person was in a high-speed chase. Officers putting out the stop stick, and the person comes right around and veers off and kills the officer. And then obviously that stopped, you know, that was the end of the chase, but I guess stop sticks, they work, but I guess what is there? There's got to be a technique to putting them out there. If a person sees you putting them out there, they're going to try and go around it, aren't they?
Well, and one of the things, you know, again, that we train on, and I'm sure the Sheriff's Department is the same, is, you know, pursuits are very volatile. Anything can change at any given time. Ideally, you'd like it to work in a perfect world, and sometimes we're led to believe that it's always that way by watching TV shows and movies and things of that nature, but that's not the reality.
Is there ever a chase, or almost never, almost there's almost always a chase where the end is a car crashing?
Well, and I don't know if it's always a crash. Clearly, stop sticks have made a big impact on the ability to slow that pursued vehicle down, but they have to be deployed. They have to be deployed, you know, in a manner where you're going to have potentially multiple vehicles going at incredibly high speeds. So there's some timing that's involved there. A handful of seconds is probably not going to be enough. And we use communication. We use dispatchers. Clearly, our computer system that many of our Southeast Iowa law enforcement partners use now has been a huge advancement in knowing where everybody's at, knowing where the roadways are. But ultimately, you are going to put those officers at risk when they go to the back of their vehicle and they remove those stop sticks it's the trunk lid, and they have to be deployed on the roadway. They are going to be out there in exposed positions.
Before you have to go, weapons violations, how common are they?
They're very common, and our issues aren't the legal gun owner, the person that is not otherwise disqualified from carrying a weapon. Our issues are illegal guns, and those guns that people obtained illegally, whether it's through a straw purchase, meaning they got somebody else that could purchase the weapon to purchase that gun for them because they were disqualified from possessing a firearm, or the weapon stolen. We see a lot of that, and that's a big focus of ours. It's the illegal weapons in hands of people that aren't able to possess that firearm. And we want to eliminate that as much as we can.
Is that true in the State Patrol? The weapons violations, do you guys stop many with weapon or make very many arrests with weapon violations?
I would say there certainly are some arrests, and those arrests would probably be very similar to what Kevin mentioned, not the legal gun owner.
Yeah.
It's somebody that's been involved in something else that just happens to have that firearm in probably an illegal manner.
We seem to have more shots fired incidents too that seem to be going on. I don't know if that's an epidemic or if that's something that just seems to be more prevalent. Obviously, once the weather heats up, you tend to get more of those things as well. Shots fired, and you know, I've told the story about Mike Johnson when he told me, hey, you get a call that there's a fight going on down at such and such. Well, that's when he was a young officer. It was a fist fight. Where somebody hit somebody over the head with a pool cue or something. Now it seems to be weapons seem to be coming out much more frequently. Is that your observation as well?
Yeah, for sure. Over the last probably 10 to 20 years, I think there is a heightened presence of firearms, and absolutely we respect that constitutional right for people to keep and bear arms. But it's the illegal weapons that are the concerns, and it does come in waves as you see weather start getting nicer and there's maybe a certain element that is out and about, and then an incident occurs, and sometimes there's retaliation to that same incident that results in another shots fired call. But then you also have those calls that out in the county will get called to somebody shooting guns, which is completely legal.
Okay.
So we'll have calls for service where it's, hey, there's shooting going on over here, which it's completely legal. As long as you're not within 200 yards and you're a legal gun owner, then you're completely fine to do that.
And but in terms of interdiction, I guess it would be interdiction, is stopping a, you know, is there... how would you know how would you have a knowledge that there might be a weapon in there? Would it be something that would give it an indication to you, Jason? Or
so in Iowa, we do not require a permit anymore.
Okay.
Prior to that, you know, there was classes that had to be taken, and there was some information that was provided to those permittees that, you know, hey, maybe it's not a bad idea to disclose that. I always like to tell people, listen, if you're in that situation, instead of show and tell, I'd rather you tell and then show. Tell me first, and then we'll worry about it. Instead of, hey, I've got a gun, and as that individual, you know, maybe wants to display that, they make that movement, and it's sometimes those movements that are misunderstood and the intention. So disclosing that is still fine. It's not, again, required in Iowa. But I think you'd find that most officers are going to make the assumption that potentially every encounter that they get involved with has some type of a firearm or some type of weapon. And that's just being alert, and until, you know, a few more things are known, they're going to handle it a little bit more businesslike.
We're going to take a break. Kevin has got to get on the road. Jason will still be here. We'll be back in a few minutes.
This, keep it on the down low here,
is the Dan Patrick Show.
And it feels like somebody keeps setting Ben Simmons up to almost be a pinata. I didn't think it was a good idea for him to play at all in the playoffs because he's not ready for this moment. I want him easing in preseason, a couple of games against some, you know, like the Sacramento Kings or Orlando Magic. Like, ease into this a little bit.
Dan Patrick.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Weekday mornings, 8 to 11 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Farming has a remarkable past, full of legacy and tradition. But it also has a very promising future. Future based on higher demand and higher capabilities. And the way forward to that future will be led by the brave, the courageous, the trailblazers. At Morning Sun Farm Implement, we also have a wonderful history. Formed by a group of local farmers in 1989, we've never forgotten where we came from and who we're honored to serve. So today, we're giving farmers a new option to build their future. The Fendt line of agricultural equipment delivers the perfect blend of brains and brawn to help achieve what our forefathers would find incredible. So whether your farm is Massey Red or Fendt Green, Morning Sun Farm Implement will have the equipment to keep your operation running at its very best, so the future of your farm can be every bit as great as its past.
I tend to second-guess dinners with friends because they're often interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit Creon.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's Creon.com.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
I'm not going to sit there and point and laugh at you because you have a mask on. Well, not in front of you. Behind your back, I will, but I mean, not in front of you. There was probably more people at the grocery store this past weekend that were wearing them than I've seen in a long time.
It could be.
But there was a significant amount more people wearing them than maybe it's this whole BA7324 thing, right? I don't know.
Weekdays, it's Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weeknights from 5 till 8 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KVUR.
Welcome back on the talk show. Kevin Glendening has gone to a meeting. Jason Marlowe is with me. One of the things, I was telling you, we were driving into Chicago for Easter weekend, and we were in there, and one of the things I've noticed is that their cannabis stores in Illinois, they had a parking lot as big as a supermarket parking lot right there for they called it the Cannabis Superstore anyway in downtown Chicago, and I'm wondering, you know, as close as we are, we're right on the edge, right on the border, and you see, you know, I know in Galesburg we see the advertising for Galesburg and things like that. How you know, I guess what. Pot it's not legal for anybody to have pot in a car. Is that right?
In Iowa,
even in Illinois, isn't
from it? A recreational standpoint, that would be correct. Yeah, so we do not have recreational marijuana, even though some of our neighboring states
but
do.
But they may have it, but it's still illegal to be using while driving a car. Is that right?
I'm sure of. Yeah, yeah. I'm not familiar enough to know with Illinois laws, but I would think that would be the case. Yes.
The number, then, you know, Quad Cities or any place where you've got so many, you know, you got dispensaries that are there. In fact, I was in Ragbri last year as I'm going into Clinton. It was the first time I had one of the stands. it wasn't a stand, but it was basically handing out, showing me where all of the dispensaries were within the Quad City area. So it was
I think I saw a few of those signs along the Ragby route myself last year.
And I thought, now this is one of those that says, okay, this is a change here. But anyway, marijuana use or people that are using or bringing it back in, it's got to be happening in these border areas.
I'm sure
it
is. I don't know if there would be a direct correlation to the numbers of, you know, arrests that we've made or things of that nature. And, you know, the overall availability of that product is probably more than a licensed dispensary, no matter what state it is. So you have to deal with that as well. But the biggest thing to remember is, and you know, if you look at the new NHTSA campaign, you feel different, you drive different, or you know, you feel different, you make different decisions. I think there's some importance to that. And you know, we would strongly recommend in instances that involve any type of impairment from any substance, that could be a legal prescription medication, and when combined with other things as well, you know, getting someone else to drive, not putting yourself behind the wheel, is probably the best choice.
Anyway, it's a recreational marijuana. I think it's now legal. I think there's 21 states now with recreational marijuana. Another, I think, out of the 50 states, I think another 12 to 15 of them are also have medical marijuana. And
I think that's where Iowa sits currently.
Yeah,
opportunities for medical marijuana, things of that sort.
You have to have a card, though.
But there is a licensing requirement, as well as the proper purchase points for that product within state. So, you know, we have not gone to the recreational side yet.
It is. Things change. Final word, the school bus violations. Have you seen, personally, have you seen an increase in school bus violations?
I don't know about an increase, but they continue to happen. Saw a video in our office here earlier this week where there was a violation that was reported. And remember that most of those buses are now equipped with an external camera. They've had internal cameras for a long time to maybe monitor the activity of those young people riding. But now a lot of them have an external camera that watch for bus violations.
But if you do have a school bus violation is a fairly expensive ticket, isn't it?
It can be, as well as a potential suspension for a license for that violation. So knowing what to do in and around them, this was just a blatant bus violation, in my opinion, based on the video that I watched. So you've got to prepare ahead of time. Look for those buses. You should see them.
And when the yellow lights are flashing,
the reds are coming next.
The reds are coming. Will you see when if the yellows are flashing, you cannot park. You cannot pass the school.
Yeah, if you're going the same direction. Now, if you're on a two-lane roadway or you're on a divided highway, you know you would not adhere to those lights on the other side of a four-lane. But on a two-lane roadway, if you see the yellows and you're traveling in opposite direction, we do allow the proceeding by at less than 20 miles per hour. And then when that driver sees an opportunity, I think of Highway 61 north of Burlington as a classic example. 99 would be another example. When that opening provides itself in traffic, the driver is then going to open that door, which activates the stop arms and the reds, and then no more passing. And I think everybody gets that. I think they understand the reds and the stop arm. I think there is some confusion, especially on our four lane south of Burlington, when you're following the bus. The bus is going to be in the right-hand lane, and the yellows come on. You cannot overtake that bus.
Final word, funeral processions. You're driving along, and a funeral procession you see a funeral procession coming up. Most people pull over to the right. Is that a law, or is that simple courtesy?
Yeah, we do have laws that are in place for funeral processions when it's recognized, and then a lot of times they'll have a light and some banners that display that.
So, okay, so it is a ticketable offense, is that right?
It could be. Yep.
All right. Jason Marlowe, it is a Peace Officer Day. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Steve.